from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia. Peter Townsend, visit them, southhillskia.net. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you, in the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Don't look now, city limits, but Jimmer Fredette and the boys, they're taking it to Lithuania.
So far, so good.
They're up 6-4. Right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's been a Team USA win yet in 3-on-3 basketball.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it is a completely different game. You're playing a half-court style. These are not NBA players.
Well,
it's basically like street ball. It's like this is what my buddies and I do on a Wednesday night when we go out to the courts.
Right, and we established that the rules prohibit us from from being able to send all of our best players that aren't involved with the 5-on-5 team.
There is no way they should lose to this Lithuania team that's just hoisting up bricks. And
I mean, they're terrible.
Bad shots.
Look at this team. What are we talking about here?
Yeah, we were talking about Jimmer Fredette and the bunch of guys we've never heard of before.
Jimmer Fredette. Who actually is on this team along with Jimmer Fredette? Do we know that?
Yes, I'm glad you asked. Jimmer Fredette. Cannon Barry. Do you know who Cannon Barry is? His father is Rick Barry.
Okay.
He's 30 years old. He spent part of 4 seasons in the G League. He was part of the USA team that won the 3v3 World Cup in 2019.
Okay.
Don't know him. Kareem Maddox. He missed the Tokyo Games, but he's going to his first Olympics this year. Well, he's there. He led all players in blocked shots and led the Team USA in rebounds at last year's 3-on-3 World Cup. So this is basically the 3-on-3 World Cup best guys representing the United States. And Dylan Travis, who played professionally overseas, he also played a little bit and coached in Oklahoma. He joined the team in 2022. He's paused his teaching career as a special ed teacher to travel for the 3-on-3 basketball tournament. Well, he's a former D2 national champion at Florida Southern. That's who's representing the country at the 3v3.
Well, what's interesting is a guy I know very well that I've actually coached with the Bruins, Joe Lewandowski.
Yeah.
Is the head coach of this 3-on-3 team, the men's team. Butler.
Really?
Yeah, he was the head coach at Butler Community College for a while. He was the head coach at the Butler girls basketball team for a while.
Now, how did he get that job?
He's been involved with USA Basketball for a long, long time. In fact, he was the coach of Haley when Haley went out there for the U18. You know, when they were competing for the to be the U18 team.
Yeah, in California.
In Colorado Springs,
or Colorado Springs.
Where the Olympic facility is.
Yeah,
he was the coach. It was Haley and three other girls, right? So, but he's the head coach of this team, and you know what? They are this Lithuania team. They better not lose to this team, right?
These games are so short, too.
Right, 10 minutes. But I mean, these Lithuanians look like a bunch of guys you'd see playing at YMCA lunchtime basketball.
They might have been at Baldwin Courts when I was there shooting on the other hoop the other day.
Yeah.
There you go, a little step back three.
There you go, a little step back three for Lithuania. They need some help.
Now, what type of court do you think that is, Paul? Do you think that that's do you think that's like a concrete court?
Yeah.
It has to be. Yeah. I wonder if that's partly why our teams have struggled.
I think
they don't play as much street ball, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, that is true.
I'm probably making up excuses for why they're playing so poorly.
Why are we so bad at this sport, but that's why.
Is it the basketball and is it the courts? I mean, really? It's not like the hoop's any different.
Yeah.
Jimmer Fredette hoisting up threes.
Do we know what college did Canyon Berry go to? I don't even remember watching him play college basketball.
Does not say. At least on the NBC Olympics page.
Yeah, I mean, where did he go? Where did he play basketball at? We got to find out. Here we go. Guess.
The College of Charleston.
Is that where he played?
That's what it says.
Huh?
The College of Charleston he played at Florida for a year.
All right. I got you.
Not bad.
What about Kareem Maddox? He played at, I have it right here, Princeton. Do you remember him playing? Do you remember Princeton? That's what I'm saying. These guys are stiffs.
I guess Tyler Hansborough wasn't available, but Jimmer Fredette's here.
Fredette.
A lot of throwaways. So many turnovers. The amount of turnovers Fredette, that Haley Van Lith had.
Yeah. Where did Fredette play at? BYU. Right? Yes. Yes. Okay. BYU. And then the final guy is, what's his name? Dylan what? Dylan Travis?
Dylan Travis is the final guy. He played Division II basketball at Florida Southern. At least he was a D3 champion there.
Well, he was at Iowa Central, Florida. So he played at three schools. Midland, Iowa Central, Florida Southern. Here's my thing. How did they determine who was going to be on this Olympic team? Like, did they have an open tryout? Or did
I thought that's what you said. They got to qualify.
Right. But I mean, did they play when they finally ever, okay, all these people qualify. Now they bring them out to Colorado Springs to pick the teams. Do they have like an open tryout where did they actually like play as a unit? You know,
that's
what I'm
a
saying?
Good point. Yeah. Or did those four compete all together
and play against, you know, other groups of four that all qualified, you know, for whatever reason, because they have these regional tournaments all over the place now. Like you could actually get two of your buddies and maybe even, you know, somebody, you know what I mean? Two, three of your Baldwin buddies, there is a regional qualifier you could go to. Now, no offense, but you would get smoked, but you could actually do it.
Maybe. Hit a couple threes.
That's right.
I had a terrible day at basketball yesterday, Paul.
What?
I had a terrible day playing basketball yesterday.
Well, why is that?
Not one of my better days. Well, I couldn't hit shots, and I didn't have too many shots to take. The defense was playing very well on me yesterday.
Right. So, anyway, we have the Hall of Fame game tonight.
Yes.
So football is kind of back.
Chicago Bears without Caleb Williams. He will not suit up and play today.
Yeah. I mean, you got to be honest with
Bears, you. Bears, Texans. I don't know it for sure, but I guarantee C.J. Stroud isn't playing.
My thing is, if you are the people running the Hall of Fame game, right, you got to be a little bit annoyed that they're not at least going to put Caleb Williams out there for one series.
Yeah, I mean, he's the number one overall pick and a rookie, but don't you want to give him as many game reps as possible?
Right.
And now they do have an extra game, and that's probably part of the reasoning why, well, we don't need to throw him out there. We'll just make it like it'd be regular, normal type of format anyway, where we play three games, which has been the last couple of years, and he'll go out there and throw a couple balls to DJ Moore, and that's out. We'll get him out of there, not get hurt. I mean, shouldn't there be? I mean, I know teams necessarily don't start their starters or play really anybody in these Hall of Fame games, but no. Who was it that got hurt for the Steelers? Was it Sean Sweezum that got hurt in the Hall of Fame game years ago? Oh, yeah, Lithuania is now beating the
United
States.
We're not losing to Lithuania. I think it was. My thing with the Hall of Fame game is I used to enjoy the Hall of Fame game when it was Sunday night. I don't know, Thursday
yeah,
night.
Thursday night doesn't make sense.
Thursday night in the middle of the summer with baseball going on and everything else.
Well, isn't it because of the proceedings that take place at the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, but they used to do, you know, the proceedings were Friday, Saturday, the game was Sunday. I think the reason they do this, right? The reason they do this is so that they can make sure that all of the people coming into town, that a lot more of them are going to be at the game.
Yeah, they go to the game. Because the game is the kickoff start to right. The whole entire weekend.
Because what happened a lot of times is guys would go to the ceremonies and everything, but they would not stay for the game. They'd leave Sunday morning, you know. And so there's that. But I feel like that's part of why they did that. But like tonight, you know, Friday night is like a big. There's a bunch of banquets and a bunch of receptions and all that other stuff. And then Saturday, obviously, is the ceremony.
What's your interest level in watching the Hall of Fame game tonight? I want to see what the kickoff looks like.
That's the only thing.
Yeah. Other than that, like after the first quarter, I'm probably going to be disinterested.
Yeah, I don't really get into it at all. I don't get into it at all. I don't like it. I don't think it's. I mean, here's the thing. Football is such a hard sport to watch when guys aren't going all out or yeah. When teams aren't trying to win or when you've got, you know, a bunch of guys who are going to be working in warehouses in a week or two.
And the Pirates don't play tonight.
And the Pirates don't
so
play.
So what are you
I'll
watching?
Watch a little
I'll
bit
watch
of
the
it.
Olympics.
I'll watch a little bit of it. How about I had a huge parlay last night. You'll love this one. I had a huge parlay last night, and I assume what's the guy's name? Wolford or Woodford or whatever his
yes,
name is.
Yes, Jake Woodford.
I assumed that it was a third day. It was go away. You know,
and he pitched well. That is just what's so frustrating.
It was getaway day. They had won the first two of the series. You know what I mean? And all that stuff. So to me, we got Jeff on the line. All right. Anyway. We will talk to Jeff here in 1 second. Is Jeff on the line?
Jeff is ready.
So anyway, I had a huge parlay. Long story short, I bet the Astros -1.5 because I assumed that they were, you know, it'd be one of those getaway games where they lost, Pirates lost 8-1 or something. And of course, it was 6-5. Anyway, Jeff, how you doing? It's Jeff Hathorn. And by the way, Jeff Hathorn brought to you by Gutter Helmet. No more clogged gutters, no more overflows, no more ladders. Gutter Helmet, 888-5-HELMET. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm good, Paul. Good day of non-padded practice here in Latrobe.
Yes, another non-padded practice. I mean, it seems like that's been the theme for most of the training camp so far.
Yeah, they had a couple padded ones in a row and then a non-padded practice. There was a fight, though, which you don't normally see in a non-padded practice. But Tomlin said they just wanted to give him that they've been working hard. Obviously, he didn't say the weather, but I'm sure that plays a factor. And that likely they're going to be in pads tomorrow because they have the night practice in Latrobe, and almost always those are in pads.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the key is they didn't want to do that. The padded practices, I guess, you know, they don't want to risk guys getting hurt, and it's early in training camp, right? So that's the way it goes.
Yeah, and guys like Micah Fitzpatrick only did some 7-on-7 drills, so there are some veterans. Russell Wilson, again, he had a couple of handoffs in team period, but, you know, he's still not into drills yet. So there's, yeah, I mean, listen, I get all the old school that guys need to be out there. It's just not the way it's done anymore. You know, you give vets reps off not only to save them a little bit, but to get a look at some of the younger guys.
Well, I think the thing about it is, you know, there are a lot of rookies that, you know, they brought in that they actually think might have a chance to play this year. Who are some that have caught your eyes?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Danny Bishop has caught, I think, everybody's eye because he's gotten such a run in the slot position. And he was doing a lot of first-team reps today. You know, he was helped with the fact that Cam Sutton's going to be out the first 8 games, which is, I think they knew a suspension. I don't know if they realized that long. But Bishop is given every opportunity to you know, swim with those fish, see how he could do. Obviously, the linemen, you know, Faltano is still working mostly second team. You know, we just talked to Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator, and he pointed out Mason McCormick has opened some eyes, not just because he flattens people in a fight, but because of what he's doing on the field. Those are a couple of the rookies that have, you know, that have stood out so far. And I would say, you know, in a few individual drills, Peyton Wilson has been noticeable because of his speed. I mean, that's a guy that if he is in a game, what he is in practice, I think he's going to develop into a pretty good linebacker for them.
I think that the one thing about that I've heard about this Peyton Wilson too is that he's just a football head. He's one of these guys that just loves it.
Yeah, and I mean, he's an older guy, so he's had a ton of experience. And you're right. And you know, players will say that like he comes into their rooms all the time. Like Queen said this the other day that like Peyton Wilson is always asking him questions and just wants to get better and wants to learn things. And he told us that the veterans have been very good at teaching him some of the little details. And I mean, there have been a lot of times, Paul, as you know, there have been a lot of a lot made of players in training camp that don't amount to anything.
Right.
But I think this dude, given what he did in college and some of the things he's doing early, at least has the opportunity to do something in the NFL. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's that is the thing. I know the 7 shots is something that people love, and it seems like you get it a couple times of practice. It's been pretty even, hasn't it, day to day?
Yeah, the offense had a first win a couple of days ago, and then they've been doing better. They've actually, it's weird. The offense has actually done better with the pads on than they have with them off, which typically you would think, you know, without pads, it would give the offense an advantage. But it's kind of been the other way, where they've been able to, you know, they've been stressing, you know, physicality. And even in those drills, you know, inside handoffs, design quarterback runs, inside handoffs, you know, they're trying to show this mentality that they want to run the football. And Arthur Smith is, I mean, there's a different discipline with this group. And I think there's a different attack mentality with this group that hasn't been there the last couple of years. I mean, who knows if any of it's going to work. It's going to come down to whether the quarterback can complete passes and they can find another number two receiver. But from a mentality standpoint, you kind of like what they're trying to develop here.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing. Now, the corner spot opposite Joey Porter has been something a lot of people have talked about. You know, it sounds like this, what's his name, Beanie Bishop, it seems like has been a guy that's been prominently out there. What are your views, you know, from where you sit, what do you see in that position?
Well, Beanie's done well in the slot. I tell you what, Dante Jackson and, you know, people immediately, $15 million, didn't have any picks at Carolina last year. And understandably, it said, you know, who is this guy? How is this going to help? It's practice. But he's made some really nice plays. Like, he sought out George Pickens. He had another pass breakup against him today. So I'd say he's having a good camp. He's a veteran. He's been around. They loved him coming out of college. You know, as of now, he has solidified that other corner spot. Time to go. We'll see. But he's comfortable. He's a guy who likes to talk a lot. But he's also backing that up with, you know, with plays against Pickens, not just plays against, you know, Scotty Miller. It's plays against, you know, the best receiver the Steelers have. So that has been a bright spot of camp and watching kind of him. And, you know, another thing I'd point out with camp is Cam Hayward has done everything, and that it looks like that groin has fully healed. He's able to push. He's able to do all the drills. He seems to be back to where he was, you know, 2 years ago, as opposed to what we saw most of last year. We just didn't have that push that is, you know, he's been known for his whole career.
Yeah. As an aside, Jeff, City Limits and I were pondering one of life's great mysteries, which is, why the hell can our 3-on-3 basketball teams win in the Olympics? How the hell can we not? We just got run off the court by a bunch of dudes that look like they're YMCA, you know, lunchtime guys from Lithuania.
Jeff, they lost to Lithuania by
just
two.
Just got run off the court.
I saw the women lose. They got their tails kicked by the Netherlands or something the other day.
Oh, they lost to Australia today, too.
Yeah.
Oh, they lost again?
Yeah, our 3-on-3 teams, I think, are combined 0-for-6, right?
I don't think they've won a game.
I think they're 0-for-6. How's that happen?
Yeah, and it's like they're getting beat by those two dudes from Marshall, the Heard That guys, the Elmores, that are like 40 years old and about 50 pounds overweight. Yeah, I don't get how we don't. I mean, you would think we'd be able to find four dudes that can play basketball better than Lithuania.
That's what I mean. Now, there are some weird rules that make it very difficult. That make it very difficult in some ways.
Apparently for us, it does.
Yeah, we can't put our best foot forward, but that's the way it goes.
Still, we can lose. You lose in soccer, I can stomach that, but basketball.
Yeah,
come on,
that's terrible. It's one of those things. It's one of those things that it is. To me, it's ridiculous. Now back to the Steelers. I asked Brian Batko this. I'll ask you this. It sounds like Russell Wilson did a little more today. Is that true?
Yes. I think this time he had two handoffs during 11-on-11 drills, as opposed to one that he had been getting. But he is throwing more. He is doing more individual work. And 7-on-7 drills he is doing, which obviously anything that there's a fear of contact, he doesn't do. So he'll do handoffs there. But if it's other drills, he's been a part of it. He's trying to, you know, be in those huddles and be as verbal as possible, all the things you would expect the starter to do. And, you know, he made another nice deep throw today. You know, he talked about the moon ball the other day. This time he made one to Van Jefferson of about 50 yards that went right over the shoulder of Joey Porter. It was a beautiful throw by him. Again, no pads. I want everybody to realize we're talking about practice drills, but he has gotten a little bit more, and he has made a couple of decent plays out here.
Yeah, and I think the thing about it is there's still enough time that, you know, Russell Wilson really probably only needs like two real full weeks of being fully, you know, with the ones, and he'll be ready to roll, right?
Yes, and for those that thought he might play in the first preseason game, that wasn't going to happen anyway. So even if he's not dressed for that game, that's, I don't think there's anything that we've seen out here to be alarmed about. He moves around fine in individual work. He's not wearing any brace. There's no limps. And it's not like, you know, those tough guy limps in front of us and then you see him on the side, you know, where he thinks nobody's watching. Like, consistently, he's walking around here with no problem. And I do believe them in this instance when they say they're just being extra cautious. And also, I do believe, because Arthur Smith brought it up, you know, they wanted to see what Fields could do, because it's a good possibility Fields is their starting quarterback next year.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really, to me, it's interesting discussion about who is the quarterback next year. But we haven't even started this year yet, so I don't know that we need to go there quite
yet. We'll wait till next week for that.
Troy Fontenot, is he going to be the starting, I guess it would be right or left tackle, when the season begins?
So, I could tell you, all the one reps, they've got Broderick Jones on the right and Dan Moore on the left. Could that change? Yes. And Nate Herbig at center. So that can change. We've seen Tomlin defer to reps early in camps, before, and then, you know, see guys kind of work their way in. With only 2 days in pads, it's kind of hard to see if these guys are working their way in. Although, I keep mentioning Arthur Smith's name, but, you know, the OC said today that they don't even notice when Zach Frazier's in there because everything runs so smooth. That might be a sign that Frazier's going to take over that job probably sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing there. And then, of course, we've, you know, a number of people who, there, you know, there's this, what I would call this Zach Frazier cult-like fan club, because he's, you know, a wrestler.
They're called Mountaineers.
They call themselves Mountaineers. But he's a wrestler, and he's basically every stereotype of the tough guy, football guy, you know. There's the clip of him with the blood and, I mean, limping off with a broken ankle and all that other stuff to save a timeout. But it doesn't seem like he has seized the center job yet, has he?
Hasn't seized it yet, but other than the first day when he had a bad snap, he has been, you haven't noticed him, which I think is a benefit, or does speak to how well he's grasped everything. And I think he will take that job. It's just a matter of time, whether that happens next week, the week after, before the season starts. I mean, they probably want to see him in a few preseason games before they make that move totally. But I think Frazier's been what they thought he would be. And he's not afraid to get in there. And, you know, Mitch, not afraid to get in there. Man, McCormick in that fight yesterday, he was taking names. And I think out of a rookie, doesn't matter who the defender was, he had his quarterback's back. And I think that wins you a few points, not only in the room, but, you know, the coaches see stuff like that. And like I said, Arthur Smith brought up his name as a guy who's really stepping up.
Paul, we have a little bit of information here you might find fascinating. You too, Jeff. Colin Cowherd, know how prolific he is in the sports radio stage, tweeted 5 minutes ago, "Keep your eyes out with the eyeball emoji." We love the eyeball emoji. "For Brandon Ayuk news, hashtag New Deal SF."
What does that mean?
What the hell are we going to talk about if that happens?
What's New Deal SF?
It sounds like New Deal San Francisco, and he's staying.
Okay, I got you.
What it sounds like to me.
Yeah, what are we going to talk?
I guess it's about C.D. Lamb now.
Or D.K. Metcalf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think the thing about it is, if you really think about this, what is Andrew Filippone going to talk about for the next 4 days? Right?
Not final yet.
It's a good point.
Here's the thing, though, Jeff. As I said to Brian Batko, I've yet to read the annual Let's Put Calvin Austin in a Gold Jacket because of his spring, because of his training camp performances. I have yet to read that, so I'm wondering, is he having a very quiet camp, or what's going on?
Yeah, I don't know if any of those receivers, I mean, maybe Van Jefferson has made the most splash plays, but I don't think any of those guys really separated themselves kind of as feared. I think what we're seeing is Connor Hayward's getting a lot of opportunities in the pass game. We saw him catch another deep pass today. This one was from Justin Fields. So I think you'll probably see a lot of double tight ends, maybe three tight ends at the same time. And I would say as of now, Pat Freiermuth, no doubt to me, is going to be the number two receiver.
Yeah. I would say this. If you think about the way that offenses run, it's hard to have just one receiver, though, isn't it?
It is. But, you know, the Arthur Smith system is and it's a play-action pass. It's a little bit more traditional than what, you know, you see with some offenses. So with his history with tight ends, you know, tight ends are more than likely going to be more of a threat in the passing game. You would want somebody else to take some pressure off of George, and I don't think that person has emerged yet. At times you see guys make a play here or there, but, I mean, George makes plays out here every day, but there's just no one that's stepping up to make you feel good about another receiver option. All those things can change, but I would say that, you know, if Ayuk does sign that deal, that doesn't mean that you should, you know, think, okay, this is our team. I think there's still a number two receiver needed to be found.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the key is you better have a second option opposite George Pickens because I know Arthur Smith uses tight ends, and if you look at the numbers of tight ends receptions, but, you know, I still think that you have to have a second option to take pressure off George Pickens, which, by the way, I've seen some clips of him making some, you know, really acrobatic catches. That's not the question with him. It never has been the question with him. The question is he, consistently every day showing up and playing well?
You know, he caught a couple in the slot today, which is something that they did during he was telling us that he was doing during OTAs and minicamp. So, you know, moving him around and putting him in motion is one way to try to beat double teams or make it harder to double team. And you might have to see more of that because I don't know if teams are going to concern themselves at this point and with Van, you know, with the cast of characters that they have it too. Maybe someone develops, but we just haven't seen it so far here in the first week now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing. Marcus Golden was signed today. What, you know, where does he fit in? Just sort of as a depth guy or what?
Yeah, good depth guy. They had him last year. I think he's comfortable with the role of playing limited snaps, and he still has some production. I think they wanted to give a couple of their young guys, some of these other guys other than Herbig an opportunity, and no one really stuck out. And he was still available. And, you know, much like they did last year when they brought in Quan Alexander kind of a few days into camp, they did the same thing with Golden. And obviously Golden knows the system, so it's a pretty easy fit for him.
Right. It's 1:40. Time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia and see what they can do for you, Jeff. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll do it again soon.
Thanks, Paul.
All right. He's Jeff Hathorn and, of course, KDK Sports Director on Paul's Ice. It's 93.7 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.